Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fisherman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel out in West Texas. Let us praise and worship the Lord. Lord, give the Lord a cheer. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we just come before you again. And we thank you, Lord, for having the opportunity to gather together in your name. And Lord, we just ask you to open our hearts and open our minds to send us the message that we need to hear, whether we want it or not. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts that we have this opportunity and another day to learn. In Jesus' name, amen.
give the Lord a cheer.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God, we can sing. I'm going to go over to John 15 today, but first, give everybody a chance to get over there. You know, the Lord can use anything to remind us of what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to be. And I had one of those this week. We've got a young horse up there. It's 3 years old, a little over three now. His name's Scout. And at that age, he's kind of like a teenager. And he kind of has an attitude like a teenager at times. Now, earlier this week, I was trying to get him into his pen for evening feeding. And he was running all around, acting up, and everything else wouldn't go into his pen. So I ran him back out to the pasture, closed the gate, went ahead and fed everybody else, not really thinking anything of it. Got him all fed and everything, opened the gate, he goes straight into his pen. I close the gate, and I'm standing there, and I look at him, and it's like, why won't you listen? All I want to do is be able to feed you, take care of you, and be your friend. And I heard the Lord say to me, why won't you do the same? Why won't you do the same? You see, Jesus wants to take care of us. Jesus wants us to be his friend. it's a cold, hard reminder when you hear that voice and it asks you, why don't you do the same? With that, let's go over to John 15. I'm going to start at 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And this is him speaking to his disciples, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Is that not what we want? Is that not the exact thing that we truly want? If you are seeking Christ, this is what you should be wanting, to be his friend. And to be his friend, you have to do whatever it is that he commands you. I'm not saying stand there and wait for some word to come in the back of your mind or audibly from heaven. Because if we go over somewhere over here, if we go over here to Hebrews in chapter 13, starting at 17, it tells us, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Who are they? Look at the chain of command that God has set up. He calls some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Where are you? Where do you fit in the chain? If you're down at the bottom, who has the rule over you? If you're in the middle, depending wherever God has put you, there is somebody that is in authority above you if you have chosen to call yourself a Christian, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I could say I do it perfectly all the time. But I'm not that way, as the Lord reminded me that day with the horse. I fall. Into my own flesh. And sometimes, darn it, I just want to be mad. Or I just don't feel like it. Or or I think I've got a better way or a better idea. That's not what it says there, is it? It's not the meaning behind it. It's not what he tells us we should do. Praise God, there are times when the Lord uses an example to show me and to reinforce to me the things that I should do. I thank Him for those opportunities. I thank Him for those times. Because this flesh, this body, will take me all kinds of places that I'm never meant to go. It'll do things that I'm not supposed to do. It'll react in ways that it shouldn't. Sometimes it pops up with pains that don't even know where they came from. And instead of rebuking that and standing in the Lord's faith and rebuking it and receiving healing from the Lord, I fail in that too. And I'll go for a while before I sit there and turn around and look and go, wait a minute, I forgot something. And I can rebuke that. And through the Lord's faith, I can ask for that healing. And I'll receive it. Praise God. And I thank Him for it each and every time. But it should be instant. It should be automatic. Unfortunately, there's this flesh thing. And this flesh thing has a tendency to try to act like a buffer and bounce us all over the place. Jesus gave us the way. Jesus, through His love and His grace and His mercy, is there for us every time, all the time. All we have to do is to come before Him, ask for His forgiveness, and receive what He has for us. He never wants us to fail. He never wants us to hurt. He never wants us to want. He's there to provide for us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for eternity. That's a long time. But you have to be willing to submit yourself. You have to be willing to not rely on your own faith and your own strength, but to rely on the faith and the strength of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye can stand. Brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. and the Lord and the power of His name.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's another beautiful day here in West Texas, and I praise God for it. Yeah. There's always a few things that kick around in my mind, what little there's left, which is actually a good thing. Because the less that's running around in my mind, it means the less I'm leaning into my own understanding, trusting the Lord, I hope. But one thing that kind of came into me this morning, and I think it goes along with what was spoken of throughout the day, is Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to start at verse 5. Now, one of the things that, for those who don't know, Karen and I recently moved out here. We've been here a little over 2 weeks now at Grace Ranch. Now, I actually am glad to be out of Vermont. It's nice to be back in the West. And, you know, it's something that it took me a while to desire to be back in the West. I'm from Arizona, so I'm used to this type of environment, and I actually miss it. But I think one of the things that kept me from desiring to be here is really what I'm about to read. While we're at Grace Ranch, there's something else that goes along with that grace. And it's something that I know I have struggled with my whole life. And I know a few of the others around here have probably struggled with it. And it really deals with chastening. Now, if we look at our society today, there is no chastening at all. And we're seeing the fruits of that lack of chastening in the people. Now, I myself, having been in the military, kind of like Bob has, and he was speaking of chain of command and stuff like that, one of the things that I found difficult in the military was that chastening, was that willingness to accept that I was wrong. Now, I know in the military, of course, there's a block put in your place if you're not willing to accept that. Because they're not going to promote you to a higher level unless you're willing to accept that which you're taught or that which you're chastened in or that which you're told to do. And I suffered that. Praise God I suffered that because it was for my own good. So anyway, chapter 12, starting at verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, I know that while in this ministry, there I have gone years, I believe, without chastening. And in my flesh, I'm like, whoa, no good thing.
You've been chastened, you just ignored it.
So, but I've been chastened and I ignored it. But going back to that, part of that in coming out here to Grace Ranch, is there's no escape from that chastening now, which is a good thing. So let me keep on going here, because if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now the chastening of the present seemeth not to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now I know in myself, going back, I have to be willing to receive that chastening. I have to be willing to take that. And it kind of goes back to everything that's been kind of going through. It all comes back to me. I have to be the one who's willing to accept that. I have to be the one who's willing to receive that. And at times, I have to be the one willing to give that. And I know that that chastening that we receive is really in part to drive out the things that we have been taught by the world. Because the ways of the world are contrary to the ways of God. And I know that we've spoken about reaching into heaven. You know, once we die in the way we are when we die is the way we are going to be in heaven. And if I'm not willing to put off and to die and to receive that chastening now, who's to say that I'm ever going to receive it? And who's to say that I'm not going to be able to put that off, and not to chastening, but put off the thing I was chastened of, so that when I go to heaven, I could stand? And I praise God for my wife's move out here. I've actually enjoyed it, which is may surprise people, but I've enjoyed being here. You know, I really have. I say that now. I may grumble here, but I know it's where I need to be. And I know that the Lord is moving. The Lord is bringing us together, because the Lord needs to raise up a people who are willing to receive the chastening of the Lord, so that they can go forth in the Lord. You cannot move forward in the Lord unless you're willing to receive that chastening.
It's an interesting subject that both Bob and Charlie spoke of, because I read this morning something. There I go. I'm obviously mic shy. In Acts 24, verse 16. It's going to seem a little off, but it isn't. Paul at this time was now in bonds. And the Jews are coming making their case. Thank you. The Jews are coming making their case against him. And in verse 16 he said, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a good conscience, void of offense toward God and toward men." Now, the reason why this was striking to me, and something that I have learned and walk in, Paul, he was God's servant first. Now, when I say that, I don't mean to say that Paul never fell short, never sinned. We know otherwise if we know the truth and understand not only the Lord's word, but also Paul's own words. Like Davey preached last week or the week before, forgetting those things that are behind. He was speaking personal. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So this isn't a statement of, He never made a mistake. He was perfect in all his ways. It was a statement of choice of service to God by the gospel of Jesus Christ, by which he stood, and only by which he stood. We sang that song, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. That's true this very moment. I cannot pay the debt I owe to be reconciled unto God. I never will be able to. He did it for me. Paul walked in that simple truth. The truth that that blood that was shed on the cross was sufficient. And it's the call to all of us. But he also said that he had a good conscience towards men. And that's the thing that is important to hear. I've known Davey for 40 and a half years. I've known Steve for all his life, which will be 54 years tomorrow. or Tuesday, excuse me. And it's interesting. It took a long time for this to bear fruit. And it's something I now know and walk in. And that is that Davey has a good conscience toward me. And what I mean by that is that because I know he is God's servant for me, as Steve is, I trust God, and in that place, there is nothing that can ever be said or done to me that does not work unto my good, period. I don't care how it feels, because I have feelings, and I have, you know, my struggles and everything like everyone else, and I fall, and I do all sorts of manner of things. But the one thing that has been profitable that I hope you will hear, is I don't judge Davy's words or actions to me. I don't necessarily always know how to take them. I don't necessarily always know how to hear them, but I don't judge them. And I always come to know something that the Lord has for me to know, always, without a doubt. And I know this is something that if you could hear and would exercise yourself in and to have a hope and a faith in God of the truth of that, that it will bear a good fruit in you. Because we can talk about enduring chastening and all, but and we endure it one way or another. Let's face it. Either we can sit there and not benefit from it but endure it and get on the other side, or we can let the Lord show us what it is he wants to show us. But that comes through not judging, but submitting. And when I read that verse in Acts, the one thing it also made me think of is, you know, Paul was salty. And we all talk about being salty. And really, we talk about it out there. But Paul was salty in the fellowship and unto the brethren. And you know what that meant? He spoke the truth in love. His fellowship wasn't in the things of darkness, but in the things of light. I know all of us have had experiences where we hear things that ought not to be. And then there's times when you address them and times when you shine it on. There's never a time to fellowship with that, though. Never. Does that make sense? When you join with something in that which is not of the Lord, you're fellowshipping in it. We need to submit ourselves, as you so rightly said, Bob. But there is no place for judgment of those God has put over us. I know Davey has said time and time again in the context of husbands and wives, that when a wife judges her husband, God isn't going to, his hands are tied on that man, basically. But if a wife submits, God is going to honor her faith And it doesn't matter what kind of husband she's got. And I know that the Lord honors my faith. And that isn't because I have a bad head or people over me, but because that's God. That's the promise. That's the hope. And if you don't choose that hope, you're wrong. You can't receive the instruction and the chastening. You can't be exercised in the Lord, because it is by those things that we are exercised in those things. It's that simple. I've had people tell me, I don't need this, and so-and-so does that, and I don't like that, and blah, blah, blah. Who the heck are you, and what the heck do you know about what you need? God knows. We like to think a lot of things, but it doesn't make us right, all of us. Submission really starts where we actually trust God. And we trust that which the chastening, however it comes, in whatever way it comes, in whatever stage it is set upon. And we look towards that which he has for us, that correction. That new way, that tweaking to the right or to the left to get us on that straight path, that we might walk in his ways and in that obedience. I know when I look at the trip that Steve just has taken and contemplating it this morning, as he's almost here, that was a unit, a unified unit that went forth in Christ Jesus. I think of the story where Steve told Sammy and Nolan to stop and wait, and Nolan kept running. He hadn't been exercised in the truth, but Sammy stopped, and Sammy called Nolan back. That's a oneness that was exhibited and blessed and was noticed and gave place for the Lord to move and be manifest. But that same oneness in this body, in this family, if we'll walk into it, and Sammy is a child. He is going to be 10 next month, I think, if I'm right. He's a child. And yet he was one with his father's instruction and served the Lord by serving and obeying his father. Now stop and think, he was running. He was doing what he wanted to do. But in an instant, he stopped, and he also called back a little boy that didn't know to listen, because no one had taught him. What a beautiful thing. But it comes through obedience. It comes through Sammy trusts his dad. Doesn't mean he always liked what his father says or expects of him. That's a given. Same with us. But he trusts him. And he served his father, and by so doing, he served the Lord. You gotta believe God. When he sets someone over you, he doesn't do it for your harm, he does it for your good. If you trust God, there's no place for judgment. There's no place for fellowshipping in the unrighteousness of another. There's a place to look to God and let him open it up to you. Let him show you. Let him bring you along. Let him perform that that work that brings that peaceable fruit of righteousness, which one of you read? You read? You read? One of you read it in Hebrews. If we love the Lord, and I know we all do, let us learn to love right one another, with our conversations right, exhorting one another in the truth, not in lies, standing with God's people and under obedience. And all the things his word says, these are our helps. These are our safeties. Through this is the promise of God born in us.
Yourself in the fire of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I always hate to come in behind Robin. I think what I'm going to have to do is start coming in first and let her go last. I spent half the night last night, or a little bit more than half the night, kind of like dreaming, but it wasn't really dreaming. And it was all to do with the conference coming up. And we have a conference coming up. We call it a minister's conference. And this year is going to be different. We're going to, the Lord willing, try to go all the way through 1 Timothy. Because there's no other letter other than 2 Timothy and Titus for ministers to read to learn how to be ministers. There are a lot of ministers out there. There are preachers all over this country, around the world. And I don't see many of them lining up with Timothy. I see commandments that Paul gives Timothy to do that I don't see preachers doing. We're going to look at this, and I urge all of those that are listening and those that will come to the conference, that come to the conference or will be listening to the conference, that they read 1 and 2 Timothy 2 or 3 times. Because we're gonna be studying that. And it's interesting that Bob brought up his subject of listening and paying attention and obeying, and Charlie with his subject of chastening. In that, we're going to be doing a working conference this year. So it'll give all kinds of people an opportunity to hear and do. And see if they get it right. Amen. So I'm not here today to really preach. I'm just here to let you know what the Lord put on me last night. It was a little tiring preaching the whole conference in one night. If I can do it one night in my sleep, I guess I can do it 5 or 6 nights awake, don't you think? Amen. We'll find out. So read up on those 1 and 2 Timothy, especially 1 Timothy. The Lord is moving, and He's ready for a move that I want to be ready for. Amen. But I got news for you, in case you didn't know it. I'm not the body of Christ. If I stand alone, I stand alone. The body of Christ is made of 2 or more believers. And when 2 or more believers stand together as one, where is God? Right there in the midst. And if God is in the midst, where's the power? All over you, all around you, and in you. A lot of churches ask questions like, where's the power today? And why doesn't God move today like he used to? And I can tell you that it's simple. It's a simple answer. He's waiting for the church to come together and operate as his body. Not everybody running around doing their own silly thing. Amen, Brother Davey, it's the truth. But I appreciate what Charlie said about being happy here and how he's enjoyed it. Wait a minute. I don't think I've seen him for 3 or 4 days. He's in his office all the time. He doesn't give me a chance to jump on his check case. Smart. Just picking on Charlie. So let's have a good conference this year, amen? Amen. And Steve and his family and Marge and Corey, they'll be back here today. And they've been vacationing for 3 months. I don't think they'd call it vacationing, but hey, praise the Lord, we can't we? So we got 3 months worth of catching up on. And if we play our cards right, by the end of the week, they'll wish they were on vacation again. Not really. Praise God, sing some music, let's have some fun in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Soon and very soon, we are going to the King.
give the Lord a cheer.
Well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we had this opportunity. But mostly, Lord, we thank you because we know as we leave and we go out into the world that you are with us, that you're beside us, that you'll help us. All we have to do is rely on you and to ask. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.